In today's show, Trump strikes a deal with the European Union. Cyril responds to looming sanctions against ANC leaders. And security expert Brad Steyn says Cyril is a prisoner to the ANC's secrets. It's Monday, the 28th of July. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Trump says a deal has been reached with the European Union. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen met with US President Donald Trump at Trump Turnberry Golf Course in Scotland on July the 27th. The leaders agreed to a deal that will see the bloc face 15% tariffs on most of its exports, including automobiles, staving off a trade war that could have delivered a hammer blow to the global economy.
European Union is going to agree to purchase from the United States $750 billion worth of energy, $750 billion worth of energy. They are going to agree to invest into the United States $600 billion more than they're investing already. So they're investing a large amount of money. You know what that amount of money is. It's very substantial. But they're going to invest an additional $600 billion. They're agreeing to open up their countries to trade at zero tariff. So that's a very big factor. Opening up their countries, all of the countries will be opened up to trade with the United States at zero tariff. And they're agreeing to purchase a vast amount of military equipment. We don't know what that number is, but it's the good news is we make the best military equipment in the world. So sort of you have to do that. I mean, until somebody tops us, which is not going to happen. We're way ahead of every other country in terms of the quality of the military equipment. You saw that recently in Iran, and you see that, unfortunately, you see that often for all the wrong reasons, right? So those things are $750 billion, $600 billion, opening up the country. We are agreeing that the tariff straight across for automobiles and everything else will be a straight across tariff of 15%. So we have a tariff of 15%. We have the opening up of all of the European countries, which I think I could say were essentially closed. I mean, you weren't exactly taking our autos. You weren't exactly taking our agriculture. And then you would have smaller things. But for the most part, it was closed. And now it's open. It's open for our companies to go in and do a good job with it. I think you'll like them. I think you'll like it. And we will, very importantly, they'll be investing a lot of money. But the military is a big number, but that's one number we're not determining. It's going to be whatever it is. But they're going to be purchasing hundreds of billions of dollars worth of military equipment. They're very important. They're going to purchase $750 billion worth of energy. So that's going to be great. And $600 billion worth of investments into the United States over and above what they have. So, and I think that basically concludes the deal. I mean, those are the main factors. I don't think there are too many other factors other than we're going to get along great.
Despite the EU making good progress, South Africa is still allegedly negotiating ahead of the ever closer 1st of August deadline.
We've heard about what has happened in a House committee, and that whole process still has a long way to go, and discussions will be ongoing, and we don't know exactly what is driving all this, and our bilateral dealings and engagements with the United States will continue, and we will talk about all manner of things, including precisely this issue and many others. We've got good diplomatic relations with the U.S. and we want to enrich them and make them better. So we are very positive that the outcomes of our engagement with the United States will be comprehensive and all-encompassing so that we can return to good dealings with the United States.
Cyril was also asked about the potential U.S. sanctions against individual ANC leaders that surfaced last week. The U.S. punitive Jackson bill threatens harsh punishment for South Africa, including financial sanctions for individual ANC leaders. Cyril doesn't seem concerned, even though the Jackson bill has taken another big step towards becoming law.
Well, the tariffs from the U.S. obviously have turned the world upside down and are a huge threat to us as well, because we export a lot of products to the United States, vehicles, agricultural products, and also mineral products, that is mining products. So the imposition of those tariffs will have a negative impact on us, and already our producers are already feeling the pressure that is coming. And we are saying we are engaging with the United States. We are in discussions with them. My visit to the United States was to open that door for engagement. We are talking to them, they are talking to us, and we are exchanging a whole lot of ideas and proposals. And I'm hoping that those negotiations will bear fruit in the coming days. Time, obviously, is of the essence in as far as this is concerned. So a lot of work is underway by our officials.
This is where the unthinkable happened. They just came here and took his car.
No. I sold it to them. What's this?
It's crime scene tape. Did they pay you at least?
Within 15 minutes, money was in my account.
Were you happy with the number they brought you?
I got almost the same price as what I paid for the car. Everything was easy, everything was painless.
Well, there you have it, South Africa. With We Buy Cars, you won't come short. I'll tell you really.
1.93.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
That's what all the people say. That's life. You're riding high.
Yesterday, Chris Stein spoke to Brad Stein, who was Neil de Beers' brother-in-arms and who is now an independent security expert. Stein shares his view on Ramaphosa.
Look now today, Nomhlanje, the mess we are in as a country. But you know, rather than, so, Cyril Ramaphosa gets into power, but you know, rather than fumigating, it's, you know, he slowly just walked justice into a coma state. His so-called new dawn became no action. He's got no backbone, no exit strategy. There's been no conviction of Zondo Commission, ANC cadres that are clearly guilty for betraying their post and their oath. And then we have a look at things like Fala Fala. That just symbolizes it all right there. The secrecy, the suspicion, and the silence. And, you know, the ANC has been sold out. And, you know, the fractions run the show. President Ramaphosa is, in essence, a prisoner of his own party secrets. And I recently heard something, Prince Mashatile, the author's statement, that President Ramaphosa will end up in jail. And I'm telling you, I agree with him. But it's going to happen when South Africans catch a wake up.
Saka Liga CEO Piet Leroux unpacks Cyril's understanding of BEE on the Saka Liga YouTube platform.
Once you analyze what it means, once you analyze what BEE means, what employment equity means, it means that there is no room in this country within that ideological framework of political preference for a family-owned business with 50 or more employees that can be run by the family. It has to be ownership has to be transferred to black people, a majority ownership, and the majority of employees and management and so on has to be black. That this is the policy of the South African government. And so that seems to be a clear political preference. So I think he's sincere in that preference, and whether we like it or not, I don't think he doesn't think of it as evil. He just thinks that that is justice, and he thinks maybe he calls it equality, but in fact it is to construct a new political dominant economy as the same way the political space is reflected. Then the second reason why I think he's sincere is that he does not understand that BE is economically harmful. It requires an economic understanding. And good economics is not equally distributed in society. certainly Mr. Ramaphosa is among many other world leaders have shortcomings in his understanding of economics. In this case, it's very severe. And he sincerely seems to believe that it's best if ownership is spread equally through any society, and that will lead to growth. It's actually the opposite all through history. Some people are good at being stewards of capital, and other people are better at being employees. I'm an employee. I'm not a steward of capital, a little bit that I've built up over time, but some people, like very successful industrialists, have proven themselves to sort of refrain from consuming everything they own. They actually leave everything in production structure, and that helps society. So, but that's an economic understanding. If you don't understand it or don't agree with that analysis, then you can go down a bad path. So I'm afraid he's unfortunately, his analysis is wrong.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
Turning our attention to by-elections taking place in South Africa, election analyst Wayne Sussman gives insight to the Patriotic Alliance's recent big win over the DA in a Western Cape ward in Paarl. This means Gayton McKenzie is edging closer and closer to the city of Cape Town.
They won a ward in the Drakenstein municipality, which is the town of Paarl in the area of Amstelhof. This is an area where they barely featured in 2021, getting 1% of the vote. And here they are able to beat the DA by about 70 votes, which is a stunning upset and a great result for them. Essentially, why this is so important is because the Cape Winelands district after the city of Cape Town is the second most populous district in the Western Cape. And generally speaking, voters in Stellenbosch and Paarl have been more loyal to the DA than other parts of the Western Cape beyond the city of Cape Town. So this means that Gayton McKenzie and the Patriotic Alliance are edging closer and closer to the city of Cape Town. If they can win seats off the DA in the DA stronghold of Mossel Bay, in places like Amstelhof in Paarl, what can they do to the Democratic Alliance in the city of Cape Town? So I would sense that there's great concern for the DA at DA headquarters today.
OpenAI CEO Sam Altman discusses his company, which has some help from Microsoft, its ambitions, and the latest on ChatGPT. Our Bloomberg colleagues have more on the story.
The one and only person who's going to be deciding our futures.
I don't think so.
So you have been everywhere in like the last 2 months.
That was a long trip, yeah. It's like a very special experience to just go talk to people that are like users, developers, also world leaders interested in AI like all day, every day for so long.
In the middle of all this, you signed a 22-word statement warning about the dangers of AI. It reads, mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. Connect the dots for us here. How do we get from a cool chatbot to the end of humanity?
Well, we're planning not to.
That's the hope.
Like, you know, that's
But there's also the fear.
I mean, I think there's many ways it could go wrong, but we work with powerful technology that can be used in dangerous ways very frequently in the world. And I think we've developed over the decades good safety system practices in many categories. It's not perfect, and this won't be perfect either. Things will go wrong. The main thing that I feel is important about this technology is that we are on an exponential curve and a relatively steep one. And human intuition for exponential curves is like really bad in general. It clearly was not that important in our evolutionary history. And so I think we have to, given that we all have that weakness, I think we have to like really push ourselves to say, okay, GPT-4, you know, not a risk like you're talking about there, but how sure are we that GPT-9 won't be? And if it might be, even if there's a small percentage chance of it being really bad, like that deserves great care.
And if there is that small percentage chance, why keep doing this at all? Like, why not stop?
I mean, a bunch of reasons. I think that the upsides here are tremendous. The, you know, opportunity for everyone on Earth to have a better quality education than basically anyone can get today. That seems like really important, and that'd be a bad thing to stop. Medical care and what's, I think, going to happen there and making that available, like, truly globally, that's going to be transformative. The scientific progress we're going to see. I'm a big believer that, like, real sustainable improvements in quality of life come from scientific and technological progress, and I think we're going to have a lot more of that. So there are all the obvious benefits, and, you know, like, I think it'd be good to end poverty, but we got to manage through the risk to get there. I also think, at this point, given how much people see the economic benefits and potential, no company could stop it.
I think even you would acknowledge you have an incredible amount of power at this moment in time. Why should we trust you?
You shouldn't. Like, you know, I don't, as you know me for a long time, public talking, like, I'd rather be in the office working. But I think at this moment in time, like, people deserve basically as much time asking questions as they want, and I'm trying to show up and do it. But more to that, like, no one person should be trusted here. The board can fire me. I think that's important. I think the board over time needs to get, like, democratized to all of humanity. There's many ways that could be implemented. We think this technology, the benefits, the access to it, the governance of it, belongs to humanity as a whole. If this really works, it's like quite a powerful technology. You should not trust one company and certainly not one person with it.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on the global and local front. Thanks as always for watching.